What does it mean to be a Western yogi? How can someone who was born and raised in the West, who comes from a Judeo-Christian background, practice yoga and meditation in an authentic and genuine way? My name is Christopher Sartain, and this is the Western Yoga Podcast. Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Western Yoga Podcast. It is August 30th, 2023, and there's a very powerful full moon right now. I believe it's called a super blue moon, if I'm not mistaken, and definitely feeling that energy. A couple of days ago, I did a Kriya Yoga initiation here in Santiago. We're in the city right now, and I don't have my normal microphone with me, so the audio might be a little bit different than what you're used to on the podcast, but we'll see how that goes. At any rate, I had a Kriya Yoga initiation ceremony here in Santiago a few days back. It was really lovely. Had about 20 folks show up. Some people were initiated for the first time into Kriya Yoga. And I authorized another Kriya Yoga teacher here in Chile. I've authorized four women to teach Kriya Yoga now here in Chile. So we're really pleased with that. And we're moving forward with our teaching efforts and all of that. Had a chance to visit the Elqui Valley here in Chile. It's about 8 hours north of Santiago, up in the desert. And just a remarkable place, my goodness. A power place to be sure. It's considered a power place here, sort of a vortex. And a lot of spiritual tourism there, and a lot of retreat centers, and even some Buddhist groups have their centers there and whatnot. And now I know why. It really was remarkable. And the energy was very strong. And so we got to spend about a week there exploring and meditating in different places. There's a stupa there, a Buddhist stupa, in a very beautiful part of the valley. And we got to spend some time meditating there. It was very beneficial. And then we spent a couple days at the beach in La Serena, Chile, which is a pretty nice place. It's a big city. I'm not a fan of cities. But this time of year, it's winter here, of course, in the southern hemisphere. And so the beaches were not crowded, and we just had a lovely time, very relaxing. And so now we're back in the city, and we have a retreat this coming weekend that we're doing with a 200-hour yoga teacher training group that we have right now here in Santiago. So a lot going on. I'm still working on my breathwork book, and with the method that I've developed over the years, that should be available within the next 6 months or so. I should be publishing that book, so I'm looking forward to that. I want to talk a little bit in this episode about how to take advantage of power places, or vortices, so-called, and what is the value of a power place, what is the value of visiting so-called power places, and what are the effects or benefits of visiting these places. First of all, what is a power place? Well, the planet is sort of a macrocosm of, the human body. Everything is just fractals. Everything's repeated at every level of existence. And so just as we have energetic meridians known as nadis in the yoga tradition, and chakras and all of that, well, so does the planet. And so the planet also has these energetic meridians, and chakras. The meridians are known as ley lines. Those of you that study megalithic structures and all of that know that most of these megalithic structures fall on these ley lines. And, well, the idea, or the theory, is that when two ley lines cross paths, they create this energetic vortex of energy, like a chakra, more or less. And so a power place is really nothing more than a earth chakra. If you are a fan of my YouTube channel, which, by the way, is youtube.com/kriyayogi, one word, kriyayogi. I have a video on there called Earth Chakra. I believe it's called Earth Chakra Cusco or something like that, where I show a lot of the area around Cusco, Peru, from one of my trips there. And I go into detail about what a power place is, what an earth chakra is, and all of that. So you can check that out if you'd like. Please subscribe, by the way, to my YouTube channel. The title of the channel is Kriya Yoga Christopher Sartain, but the URL, I believe, is youtube.com/kriyayogi. Please subscribe to that channel if you're not already subscribed to it. I put all these podcast episodes up there as well, most of them anyway. And there's a lot of Spanish content on that channel. It's about half and half. So if you're an English speaker, just ignore the Spanish content. And feel free to peruse the English videos. There's a lot of stuff on there. And so essentially, power places, or vortices, as it were, are essentially just earth chakras, these places where ley lines cross and create this energetic vortex. And so what happens in these energetic vortices? Or these power places. Essentially, they were used by the ancients to build their structures, to build their pyramids, to build their large megalithic buildings and walls and whatnot, for the purposes of concentrating that power and that force, that evolutionary force that is stronger in these places. And so we typically, Kundalini is, or Shakti is typically defined as the evolutionary force of the Supreme Consciousness. And so this evolutionary force is stronger in certain places, you see. And so if you want to really take advantage of these evolutionary forces, well, then you can visit these power places and you can accelerate your spiritual evolution there a little bit more quickly than you can in, you know, in the middle of a city. Now, you know, the spiritual masters will tell you, oh, well, it's all the same at the end of the day. You know, you can meditate anywhere, you can evolve spiritually anywhere, no matter where you are, etc., etc. That's that's for very advanced yogis who have already evolved to a certain level. And then they're able to be anywhere and be, you know, super conscious and all that. And that's all well and good. But for most folks, it is highly advantageous to visit these power places and vortices, earth chakras, as it were. When you're in these places, you do feel the evolutionary forces stirring, as it were. And you do tend to have more powerful experiences with pranayama and meditation and rituals and ceremonies and all these things. Sometimes your the cities, the so-called supernatural abilities or powers, are heightened there or quickened there, and sometimes you can develop new powers or abilities when you visit these places. That's certainly been my experience, having visited quite a few. South America is particularly powerful, in my view, especially the Andes Mountains, which I consider to be sort of the spinal column or backbone of the planet. And along that spinal column is the Shishumna Nadi of the planet, essentially. So, you know, we have the added advantage of getting to live here in the Shishumna Nadi of the planet. And you can feel this energy when you're in the Andes. It's like this highly magnetic energy that you can take advantage of, where you do feel this evolutionary force more strongly than you do in other places or other parts of the world. And so I also, I think I've talked about this in previous episodes, but I think there is sort of a series of chakras that go along the Andes. And I would put the Muladhara chakra somewhere around Ecuador, Svadhisthana, no, sorry, Muladhara somewhere in Colombia, Svadhisthana in Ecuador, Manipura in northern Peru, and the Anatta chakra is certainly around Cusco and Lake Titicaca. And that's why the ancient civilization, far older than the Inca, we're talking 10,000 years ago or something, was really centered around Cusco and Lake Titicaca. And Bolivia is also very powerful. The ruins around Tiwanaku and Pumapunku are just extraordinary. Very advanced megalithic structures there. And then, of course, you have Machu Picchu. All the stuff around Cusco is just unbelievable. Ollantaytambo, Sacsayhuaman, all those structures around there are just amazing. You really have to go there in person and feel the energy in person. If you ever get the chance, I highly recommend visiting Cusco and also Bolivia, all the ruins around Lake Titicaca. At any rate, so you can visit these power places and take advantage of the evolutionary forces that are heightened in these areas. And again, the naysayers will say, oh, you don't need to visit, you don't need to go to any of these places, you know, just you can meditate anywhere, practice pranayama anywhere, and you'll evolve at the same rate no matter where you are. I strongly disagree with that, and I believe the ancients also disagreed with that. We're talking about the masters who lived during Satya Yuga, you know, which ended around 7,000 BC or something. And so these masters that lived during Satya Yuga, they built all their structures on these earth chakras on purpose to take advantage of the energies there. So don't listen to these naysayers that tell you, oh, there's no advantage to being in a power place, to spending time in power places, to living in power places, meditating there. Of course there is. Of course there is. And so it is highly advantageous to visit these places from time to time, or to live there if you can. Although I have noticed, having lived in a couple of power places, I lived in Crestone, Colorado, which is another power place in the Sangre de Cristo Mountains. Anyone who's ever visited Crestone will tell you it's a very charged area. A lot of spiritual communities there, a lot of, you know, ashrams and monasteries and shamanic groups and stuff live there. And a lot of UFO sightings occur in the San Luis Valley, where Crestone is. It's a hot spot for UFO activity. You also find that around most of these power places. That's certainly been my experience. Most of my sightings, and I've had a lot, all occurred in or around power places. Almost all, I should say. And certainly in Crestone, we saw a lot of strange things in the night sky, to say the least. I don't really want to go into too much detail, but at any rate, so it's not always, at least it wasn't for me, a great idea to live in a power place. Sometimes the energy is just too much, it's just too strong. And so, especially, you know, there in the San Luis Valley, for example, the ancestral Puebloan people didn't live there. No one lived there permanently. They used that valley specifically for as hunting grounds in the summer, but also for vision quests. And so they would go there to do their shamanic practices and to do vision quests and all that, but people didn't live there year-round or anything. And I can see why. It's just too much. It was just too much for me. Like, I just couldn't handle it. I guess if you get to a certain point in your spiritual evolution, you can easily live in one of these power places and do just fine. But I found that it was just overcharging me. It was too much. And also, after, you know, having visited some other power places, after a week or two there, yeah, I'm so lit up that, you know, I feel like I need to leave, like I need a break. I need to get out of there for a little while. I'm just not there yet, you know, I've got a lot of work to do. But I think, yeah, once you reach a certain level of spiritual evolution, you can live in these places and do just fine. But in my case, at any rate, I just feel like it overstimulates the evolutionary forces and the changes are too drastic and too rapid, and I don't have time to assimilate them. Absorb the changes, assimilate the changes, especially as it concerns, you know, like the opening of the third eye chakra and some of these things. Sometimes just too much all at once. But they're certainly worth visiting. And so, again, you know, the ancients built their structures, their pyramids, their megalithic walls and buildings and everything on these earth chakras on purpose to take advantage of the heightened evolutionary forces that occur, that exist in these energetic vortices. And so now we can visit them with this knowledge taken from Satya Yuga. We can visit these places, and also we can take advantage of the heightened, quickened evolutionary forces that occur in these areas. And so when you go to a power place, I highly recommend eating a very clean diet for, you know, a month leading up to your visit, and practicing, you know, pranayama and meditation daily, especially Nadi Shodhana pranayama can be very useful for you. Practice it a couple times a day if you want, 12 rounds minimum each time. And if you know other pranayama techniques that you already use and like, you can use those. Meditate, you know, do yoga asanas to move the energy so there's no stuck, stagnant energy, no blockages or obstructions before you go to these places. So do the preparation. You know, that's another thing. A lot of people, they visit these places and they haven't done the preparation, and let alone 1 month preparation. They haven't, you know, 1 month isn't enough. Really, you should be preparing yourself all the time before you go to a power place. But if you're not, if you don't normally have a yogic lifestyle, then certainly you need to take a month and prepare yourself. But a lot of people, they show up at these places and nothing happens. They experience nothing. They don't feel any different. And this is due to their lack of inner sensitivity, which is due to just a toxic or contaminated brain and nervous system. And so you really need to make sure you're purifying the nervous system, cleansing the nervous system, refining the nervous system and the brain through your asana practice, your pranayama practice, your meditation practice, your diet, hopefully vegetarian diet is best, and avoiding certain chemicals, avoiding alcohol, of course. Alcohol is pure poison. Try to avoid perfumes also, which are also toxic poisons. I've talked about that before, I believe, on the podcast. And so try to avoid certain chemicals, avoid fluoride, of course, in your toothpaste and the drinking water. Don't use fluoride toothpaste, for the love of God. And filter your water, please, if you're not already doing so. And avoid mercury, aluminum, and all these heavy metals and everything. And try to keep a clean diet, get plenty of exercise, practice your pranayamas, your meditation, your asanas. And do all that as preparation prior to visiting these places, and you'll have a much richer experience if you do the preparatory work, the preliminary practices ahead of time, and you're ready and you're prepared. You know, if you're eating junk food every day and, you know, drinking alcohol, drinking 3 or 4 cups of coffee a day and eating a bunch of red meat, not practicing any pranayama, and all of a sudden you go to one of these places and you don't experience anything and you wonder why, well, that's why. You're not ready. You haven't prepared yourself. So that's why it's important to maintain a yogic lifestyle, a yogic diet, and do your sadhana, do your spiritual practices on a daily basis, and keep that routine going. And keep your discipline up. And so if you're disciplined and you're constantly purifying and refining the nervous system, you'll have a much better experience in these power places, and you'll be able to tune in to the subtle frequencies, the subtle energies in these power places. Otherwise, your radio, your antenna won't be able to tune in to these frequencies due to the contamination, the distortion, the toxicity in your brain and nervous system. So you got to keep all that stuff clean. I've said it many times, but spiritual enlightenment is in large part a physiological process. And so what does that mean? Well, your vehicle here, your body, is a divine template for awakening. It's specifically designed for the awakening process. But if you want that Kundalini upgrade, you got to work for it. You know, it's not going to happen automatically. If you're not disciplined, if you're not doing the spiritual work, if you're not keeping a clean diet, following the yamas and niyamas also, and trying to be a good, moral, ethical person, have a wholesome lifestyle and all that, well, that upgrade isn't going to happen. You know, the upgrade occurs once the hardware is ready for it. You understand? So you're trying to download all this software, but it's not compatible with your hardware. So if you want that software to be compatible with your hardware, well, then you have to prepare the hardware first and make sure that that hardware is ready to accept and assimilate that new software, that upgrade. And so if you go to one of these power places and not much is happening, not much is going on, well, probably has something to do with your hardware not being ready or compatible with this upgrade. And so make sure that you're prepared before you visit one of these vortices. Now, you can do little things to create a little power place in your own home. And so you can do that by creating an altar in your house, have a corner, you know, or a room, an entire room, if you're so fortunate and so lucky. You can devote an entire room to your sadhana. And the only thing you do in that space every day is practice your sadhana. Meditation, pranayama, chanting, everything that prayer, you know, reading inspired literature, everything that you consider to be part of your sadhana, you only do it in that space. You don't do anything else in there. And so if you do this over the years, you will create a sort of mini vortex in your own home. And you can put crystals in there. Quartz is good. If you can afford a large quartz crystal, that can be very beneficial. Put photos up on your altar, photos of the gurus or anyone that inspires you. Jesus, Buddha, whatever. And so you can create an altar for yourself with photos. You know, with quartz crystals are very useful because they harness that energy and concentrate it, and they have memory. So if you're meditating in the presence of a quartz crystal and you're experiencing superconscious states frequently in the presence of that quartz crystal, it will save that information for future reference. And so you're essentially charging that crystal every day. And you're charging the space every day with your superconscious influences. And so you can create a mini vortex in your own home. It takes time. It's not going to happen in a week or a month or probably a year. But I have noticed I have a little meditation hut where we live and where I meditate. And it's just gotten easier and easier to meditate in there because those vibratory frequencies are already set in motion. And so I just go in there and clear the mind a bit, do a little bit of pranayama, and I immediately tune in. And so you can do that. You can create your own little mini power place. And I encourage everyone to do that. I also encourage people to visit power places once in a while when you have the time and the financial resources to do so, of course. It's not possible for everyone all the time, But every once in a while, it's good to visit these power places. Also, temples, you know, certain places in India and the Himalayas also very, very charged. There's power places all over the world in Europe and Africa. Every continent has their power places, right? And so you don't have to travel halfway around the world to visit a power place, you know. Just try to find some of these earth chakras close to where you live, close to your home. And try to venture out here and there and do some spiritual practices in these places and experience it for yourself that it is true what the ancients knew, that these places are charged energetically and they do accelerate the process of spiritual evolution. So we can take advantage of that if we have those opportunities. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. Please share the podcast with like-minded souls. Namaste.